Welcome to the Hillside Podcast. We trust that you'll be impacted by listening to today's message.
And we've got to see, it's like such a privilege to be a part of this church to me. I was standing back there genuinely like privileged that I have family here, that I have formed friendships that I'll have for the rest of my life. I want to encourage you, like if you're in Hillside, it's not by mistake. It's by design that God's called you to family. And there's something on this church with family, and if you've been yearning and searching for family, I really feel like this is that space for you. Get plugged in, get connected, because so many people in this church carry beautiful things that you need, and you carry beautiful things that we need. Yeah, that is not my preach at all. But yeah, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Chanel. Candace introduced me. I do freelance photography and videography, and I'm in the education world also in technology. And I've been saved since I can remember. Grown up in an incredible Christian home. My brother is a third-generation missionary. My gran is one of those wild women that smuggled Bibles into China. And was like in Russia when Chernobyl happened. Like wild stories. Like my family, my dad was in the war in Mozambique, missionary style. My brother's living it up a little easier in Germany. he is coming in 2 weeks' time. If you want to hear a testimony of a kid that grew up in church but didn't really love Jesus, but then got rocked radically. his life is one of those lives where you listen and to what his story is and you're blown away. You can't believe it. How many of you have heard a story? Quite a few of you. I'd encourage you to bring friends in 2 weeks' time, Sunday morning. He's 24 and he's single. Lots of girls. No girls. He's single. He's amazing, though, and God encountered him one evening and asked him, what's more important, your fear of man or people's eternity? And that changed his life forever. He went from never telling people about Jesus to every day intentionally telling people about Jesus. He's seen wild healings. He's seen radical salvations. He went from never reaching out to people to having drug addicts sleeping on his couch and just pressing in for the more. So that's 2 weeks' time. Dylan is coming. But let's pray for this morning. Lord, we thank you that you're here. Hey. We just turn our affections onto you again. Holy Spirit, have your way in us. And my prayer is that our eyes would be enlightened like never before, that we'd see who you are like never before, that you would reveal aspects that we've been pressing in for of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what am I sharing on this morning? I am one of those people that is very visual. I see things. If a word is spoken, I often can see it. Like I see things come alive in my brain and I can see an image. I can see a video I could create basically about it. Not that I really do, but in my brain I do. And visuals is something that stands out for me and something I never forget. So I've been reading Ephesians. If you want to turn to Ephesians 1. And I've been stuck on it for like 2 months. I think Luke preached on Ephesians 1 also. Yes. So we're looking at Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. If you go down to chapter 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in the trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Blows my mind. It's one of those things where I feel like we could digest that for the rest of our lives and not fully comprehend it. What does it mean to be seated in him, with him, up there, looking? How does our perspective change? And I've heard about light my whole life, and that is what I've been stuck on again, is just verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory and inheritance in the saints. So if we go to Colossians 1:9, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We've heard it our entire life. If you've grown up in church, or as long as you've been in church, you've heard about light. How many of you have heard about light? He is light. We are light to the world. But for me, it had kind of lost, or I don't know how to, you know when you hear something over and over again, but suddenly it just clicks again. It clicks in our spirits, it clicks in our hearts that it's like, I'm light. You ever have those moments? You hear about it all the time. And I really feel like with what we're going through and the transition that we've had and what everyone's preaching about, there's going to be a fresh understanding and a fresh revelation of who we are in Christ, that he is light, so we carry light wherever we go. But with that, our perspective's going to change and our thinking's going to change. And it's all about us having that revelation that we are light to the world. Because of who Jesus is. Because of his goodness. Because he died for us. Because that is the lens we look through and that's the perspective we look from now. Does that make sense? There's so much more for us, and I think that's something we'll unravel the mysteries like for the rest of our life. But I want to encourage you this morning to be aware more than ever before and allow God to just like open our eyes, let our eyes be enlightened like never before into who he is, what we carry because of who he is, and how we see through him. Everything changes when you have an encounter with the light. Let's go to, I read a lot of the word. Let's go to Acts 26:12. I was thinking about this, and I've been thinking about it for a while, and yesterday God reminded me that an encounter with the light changes you forever. And he reminded me of Paul's, Acts 26. Verse 12. Sorry, I've been sick, so if I cough a bit. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both to the things which have been seen and those of the things that I will yet reveal to you. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That is power. I want to cry when I read that. This is a guy that's murdering everyone that's a Christian. The people that we think are impossible to get saved, impossible to see the light. But God appears to him and changes everything. He goes from darkness to light. And I think there's something prophetic on the fact that he can't see for 3 days. That it wasn't actually maybe the visuals, but it was what was internally that he saw differently. That God was working internally that changed how he looked at things, how changed how he saw things. And after those 3 days, he saw differently. We see differently because of the light. We'll always see differently because of the light. But we have that choice. Do we choose to see in the light, or do we choose to see in the darkness? And we see the story, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in him. This morning, I want two parts for us to remember, is that we are in the light, but the light's in us too. We are the light to the world because of Jesus. But also, what does light do? Close your eyes for a second. Imagine everything's dark. So you're seeing pitch black. And now you're seeing a sunrise. What changes? You start to see something completely different than you did in the dark. You start to see color. You start to see form and dimension. You start to see things that you could never see in the darkness. Things that are hidden to the world suddenly become visible to us in the light. There's something about light, and I know I don't fully get it yet, but there's so much more about it. Genesis 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. From the very beginning, one of the first things we see is the darkness transformed into light. Something that had no shape in the beginning gets completely transformed by God as he speaks creation into being. That same God lives in us. So not only do we have the light, do we see the light, but when we come into an environment, we bring light. And we know this. But are you living it? If there's this difference between us knowing it and we've heard it, but what my prayer for us this morning is for us to have a revelation, and we can't always be in the light in church to bring light. Does that make sense? We've got to be in the world too. Light isn't tainted by darkness. And yes, there's an awareness. If you're newly saved, going back into the world, if you're struggling with addiction, there's obviously situations where don't go straight back into the dark to bring light. Be aware of what God's telling you to do. Get full healing, etc. But if you're going to stay in a safe space all the time, you're not aware of who you are and what you carry. Because we carry the light. You carry the light. You bring transformation. And we carry hope. It says in that scripture, the hope of our calling. Am I right in saying that? I can't remember. Something about hope in there. But we bring hope where we go too. There's no mistaking who we are in Christ. But are you going to partner with him and believe that you carry light? It comes down to identity too. You're a light bearer. And because of Jesus, there's nothing stopping you from carrying the light. It's not about you. It's about him. And there's so much beauty in us refocusing our eyes on Jesus and the light and being aware of what he's done. How can we not exude light? We're no longer in the Old Testament where light shone on us. We're now in the New Testament where light shines out of us. Everywhere you go, you carry light. And there's a transformation that's happening. So with that comes a perspective shift. If you're seeing exactly the same, if you think of the world and people exactly the same as you did before you were saved, after you were saved, I'm concerned. Because everything changed for Saul in that instant. It's perspective change. If you encounter light, everything changes. You see things you never did before. God brings life. And so one of those perspective shifts, I love the idea in 2 Kings 6. I'll just read it rather than go there. When the servant, verse 15, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes." There's something about light and sight. "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. I laugh at verse 18. Because it's the complete contrast of God is giving sight to his people and blindness to those who aren't in that Old Testament scripture. There's that awareness of sight again, awareness of not being able to see something versus being able to see the mysteries of God, see what's happening in the supernatural, having supernatural vision and insight. That is who we are and what we carry and have access to. And if you're satisfied with not seeing differently, I'm praying for a wild encounter with the light. Because he's the light and he's life. Does that make sense? Yay. And we're seated in heavenly places. How can you not see differently from heavenly places? Our eyes, the sight, something shifts with our sight. And the fact that we have light inside of us, that everything changes. We are called to see things differently, see things not only, we're a prophetic people. We heard Hilton's preach last week. If you haven't heard it, download it. One of the prophecies over our church is that we'll be a family of prophets. You can't be that if you're seeing darkness over light all the time. Because we're not prophesying from the light, if that makes sense. We're a people that see things that no one else sees and calls them into being before other people see it. We're going to sound weird to the world sometimes. Amen. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with sounding weird for him. Because we're going to see differently. And sometimes we, because we see differently, we feel ashamed of voicing our opinion of what we see, especially out in the world. But can I tell you something? People are attracted to the light. I think of a bug, but they're not bugs at all. But we're all attracted to the light versus the darkness, even as kids. We love the light on rather than sitting in the dark. There's something about us being able to see differently and bringing light, and also you are the encounter that people are waiting out there with the light for. Does that make sense? That's you because of who Jesus is in you. You are the light. And so often we're waiting, God, encounter him. Encounter him with, like, God wants to do that with you. And they're waiting. Like, it's so easy out there to encourage people and tell people about Jesus. It's not a difficult thing. If you're struggling with that, the best way is to do cashiers because they can't get away from you. Practice on them. You're calling out destiny and life over them. But they can't get away, and you have a good out because you have a time schedule. But that's one of the ways my dad started. My dad hated telling people about Jesus. He loved Jesus, all that, but the fear of man, and like he's very introverted. Like he had so much fear about it. So what he started doing was buying chocolates for the cashiers. And so he'd walk through the thing, buy them a chocolate, and just bless them, tell them Jesus loves them. And that's where he started. Some people get saved, radically encounter God, and tell everyone about Jesus. If you're not, just start. Meditate on who you are, the light that you carry. Meditate on who he is and what you carry. It changes everything. So, does this make sense? You guys with me? Tell your neighbor you're the light of the world. You're a light in the world. You're light to the world. I'll read that scripture now. So much light. Let's go to Matthew 5. Verse 13. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. What you do and how you live your life is a testimony of Jesus. It leads people to him. We have to own. Maybe just close your eyes for a second. I feel like one thing that blocks us off from really believing that we are called to be light in this world is us understanding who we are. How many of you in this room, eyes are closed, are struggling to believe that you're that valuable, that you carry that much worth, that you're struggling with shame and identity stuff, that you're like, I'm not a light. Just raise your hand. There's a lot of hands in this room. Lord, we just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in this room and that you're in us and that you're working. okay. And I just pray that you would just love on each one of us as a son and a daughter. That you would reveal to us what you've done and the co-heirs we are now with you. You are worthy of an inheritance, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. It's not about you anymore. It's about Jesus. When you accept him as your savior, that he becomes the standard. He is you, it, what he sees through Jesus. If you're seen through him. So Lord, we just thank you for freedom that comes with salvation. And any lies of the enemy, that those would just lift off right now. That people would realize like never before what they carry because of who they carry. That there would be a shift in a mindset that it's about Jesus. That there would be a boldness and a confidence coming over them because of who you are and what you've done for them. This makes me think of Genesis. It happened in the beginning. Genesis 3, 5 to 7. Well, you're from 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. It was a lie. Your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. It's a lie that the devil's been telling us from the very beginning, that our eyes will be opened. The fact is, our eyes were opened back, like in creation, and they're open again because of who Jesus is. It's what we have access to. It was like the first lie. And it's still sometimes a struggle, but it doesn't have to be because of who Jesus is. You are like him. You were created to see like him, partner with him. It's wild. It's good. It's exciting. Light is repeated throughout Scripture numerous times. If something's repeated in Scripture, it's not by mistake. It's so that you don't forget continuously. It's because it's an exclamation mark, bold, underlined. They don't have those back then. They had them today. They would continuously have bold, underlined. You get it? Be aware of when you're reading Scripture and you're reading the Word, of who he is and who he's called us to be. We're children of the light. You carry light. He is the light. It's exciting. Do you feel empowered or like encouraged to be light in this world? To no longer like sit back and let darkness have the final say. You're needed in this world. We're not promised that things will get perfect. We're promised that light overturns darkness. That wherever we go, we get to dictate that atmosphere. If you're called to specific spheres of society, if you have specific dreams, but you're like, it's really dark, when God says go, go. Because you're supposed to be in that environment. How else is light going to come? Let's stand. Lord, we thank you that you are light. And because we're your kids, we are light to this world. I pray that you would open our eyes more than ever before, that we would understand things and see things differently because of the light. And there would be this boldness and confidence of what we see because of who Jesus is. That we would no longer let the world dictate what we see and how we see. That we would own who, like our identity in you, and see things differently. Lay your hands on the person next to you. Just pray. Pray that they would have a fresh revelation of the light that they carry. That as they read the word, God would make this even more evident and reveal more of the mysteries of it to them. That they would start to have dreams for our nation. That they would be aware of where they're called to step into. That there would be a bravery and a boldness on them. Hey. There's something on this. There's something about the light that we carry and the awareness of the simplicity of this. It's not complicated. Now, I feel like just pray over yourself. Hey. Pray like you would have prayed for your neighbor. Your name is light that the shadows can't deny. Your name will not be overcome. Your name is life forever lifted high. Your name shall not be overcome. Your name is light that the shadows can't deny. Your name shall not be overcome. Your name is life forever lifted high. Your name shall not be overcome. Hey, I've had that in my head for 2 years now. Anyone in residency, I've driven crazy because I rap it in weird voices and say it in weird ways, but I feel like there's something on it. Be aware that his name is light and that shadows and darkness have no hold over us. Hey, there's something on that. You're all amazing. And yeah, bless you guys. Yay.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear your story if you've been encouraged by this episode. You can connect with us on Facebook or leave a review on our podcast.